Have you ever wondered what the link is between music and the Word of God, music and the Gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, today you are about to find out. Welcome to Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinazo Goss. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. So welcome to it. Thank you so much for joining us. As you know, this is where we help each other grow in the faith. This is where we answer everyday questions through the lens of the Word of God. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And today we will be doing just that. You know, we will be answering everyday questions, something that we all relate to, you know, because I believe that today's topic is something that is relatable, not just to many people, but probably to all of us, you know. So thank you so much. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing. We are growing immensely as a family. So thank you once again. So before I get to today's topic, I would like to introduce a very special guest joining us today. He is someone who needs no introduction. He is a multi-award winning gospel music veteran and pioneer, not just gospel music artist. He's actually one of the greats in the industry. He's not only in music, he's also in ministry. He is the Bishop of High Praise Center Church. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than the iconic Bishop Benjamin Dube. Bishop, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Sina. In fact, I'm so glad to be with you today, and I hope and I believe it will be a blessing to all your viewers.
Amen. Amen. I also believe so, Bishop. I have to say it is such a humbling honor to have you in our midst. So thank you so much for honoring our invitation and for joining us today. So as I said, Bishop, you need no introduction. You're well known across nations, across generations. You know, I, for one, remember being as young as 5 years old, you know, listening to your music, and it has continued to shape me in many chapters of my life, you know, being in high school, SCO, being in varsity, and to where I am now as a working young lady. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people can relate to that, you know. And as much as people relate to you in that way, some may not know how you got to where you are today, Bishop, particularly your faith journey. So can you please share with us the moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? I know that is probably many moons ago. I know it was many moons ago, probably, but I believe it will set the tone for the rest of our conversation. So can you share how that encounter was? What was happening in your life for you to say, okay, you know what? Now I'm making the decision to give my life to Christ.
Right. To start with, Sina, in fact, I was born in a Christian family. My father was an evangelist, and my mom is the one that used to actually hold the fort when coming to the music side of things in the home or in the family. And obviously, we used to actually go to Assemblies of God church. That has been our family church. And later on, my father then was involved in Back to God Crusade with Bishop Nicholas Bengu, who founded Assemblies of God. And so, and then he used to go out as an evangelist and preach the gospel. And so it happened that this time he came back and in Midlands, because that's where we were staying in Soweto, Midlands. And so, and he was preaching in Zone 2 of Midlands. And I was 14 years old at that time. We used to go into the revivals every day up until we then actually went into the church building, which is Assemblies of God, and it was a youth gathering. And with that background, already I kind of like had an idea about salvation and about God, you know, because of my father and my mom. But it was still not my thing.
Personally.
Yes, personally, because we used to go to Sunday school and all that. Yeah. But that night, I had a very personal encounter because it was almost like it was beyond my understanding. Youth gathering, but there was a presence.
Something different.
In the place. And it made me uncomfortable. And it kind of like led me to a point where I had to leave the building and go outside because I wasn't comfortable about it. And that presence made young people like cry and roll on the floor, and they were screaming, some of the men, and I didn't understand what was going on there. And then I left the church building, and I sat alone outside, alone. And now in Soweto, Midlands, at that time, there were no street lights. It was dark. And you could see people just passing and continue to pass. And I was sitting and I was looking up and I'm thinking, hey, let them finish in the church.
Oh.
You know, and so I then had an encounter, and there was a voice that was kind of like communicating with me while I was looking up, and I saw the stars, I saw the moon, and that voice was saying, the very stars you are looking at and the moon that you're looking at were created by the one you're running away from. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I'm losing my mind. And 14 years old, I mean, I was like, okay, let me not look up, maybe I'm losing it.
I'm hearing things.
Yeah. And I was looking around now, and I was seeing people passing by, and you could see, okay, there's many people passing by. And then that voice came again, and it said, the very people that you are looking at passing you by, they were created by the same person that you're running away from. I know, man. I thought to myself, no. Let me go back. And still it was that the presence was still there inside.
In the church.
And so I went back and I had some friends. I was sitting with my friends and I thought to myself, okay, let me just go back. And I sat down while it was going on, the service was going on. And I felt like a conviction and I was breaking down. And I was like, tears were running down my face, and I thought, no,
what's going on?
And there is no preacher, and no one is preaching
to you, yeah,
but the presence was there. And I realized, I mean, at that time, that, you know, we know about the Holy Spirit, we know about the presence of the Lord when He has come in the room and all that, but I really never experienced it the way I was experiencing it. And then all of a sudden, during that time, while I was crying and teary and all that, then I said, in my heart, I said, Lord, if you're real, if it is you that is touching me and talking to me, please save me now. Save my soul. And I mean, I was not like speaking from a person that doesn't know about God. I was speaking from an angle of saying, I know God is there. I know that He is the one that is actually in control here. And then I gave my life to the Lord and I said, please come into my heart. And many young people were actually giving their lives to the Lord. But I didn't go forward. I just sat there and I gave my life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I remember when I went back home, and I told my dad, and I said, Dad, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my father said to me, that's the best gift I can give you,
Amen. Boy,
Jesus Christ. And he said, follow him and continue to follow him. And guess what? 2 months later on, he passed away.
Oh, man.
And I was like, this is my mentor. And all of a sudden, what kind of a God is this who takes my father. At the time when I needed him, for him to guide me, for him to speak over me, and for him to really make me a man that I'm supposed to be. But the voice came back again. Right there in my loneliness after the news. And that voice said, the reason why I took your father is because I'm making room for you.
Mm-hmm.
My father's name is Benjamin, and I am Benjamin.
Junior.
It just clicked.
Yeah.
And I knew, okay, this is the doing of God.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Whew, wow, what a moving story, Bishop. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm actually reminded, Bishop, you know, of how David says in the book of Psalm 139, God wrote each one of our days, even before one of them came to be. You know, so I believe that was God's day of intention, you know, to reach you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for saying yes to Jesus, because I believe if you never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, we would have never experienced the impact that you've
had. Certainly,
you know. So thank you so, so much for that, Bishop. And I'm sure, Bishop, with such a journey, you know, that has spanned for decades now, it hasn't been one without challenges.
Oh,
it hasn't been one without sacrifices.
Right.
And I'm sure even now you continue to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. But when you look at your journey, Bishop, what would you say is the biggest sacrifice you've had to make, or are the biggest sacrifices you've had to make in your journey?
Man, you know what? For me, I wouldn't actually look at, you know, some of these things as sacrifices. Because truly speaking, the sacrifice that Christ made was beyond our sacrifice. And I know for a fact that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And this is where I'm coming from, in saying, truly speaking, the sacrifice, if there may have been sacrifices that I have made, they are worth it. You know, and one of the things that I would actually say, I look at and say, you know what, it was a sacrifice by virtue of the fact that I decided not to, to pursue my plans and pursue my dreams, which at that time I thought it was my dreams, because going back, I looked at myself as a musician, as an artist, as somebody who could become like the Michael Jacksons and popular and have a very big following. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, I looked up to Michael Jackson, and I, right now I look back and I think to myself, what was I trying to actually achieve in that? And I used to have a Pam, and I used to even speak like Michael Jackson with a tiny voice. And I got to a point where I was conflicted in whether to pursue secular music or to pursue gospel. You know, I remember I wrote a song entitled Don't Let Me Give Up. And that was after I became a Christian. And that song, I was kind of like venting my confusion in saying, I know that I'm saved, but I still want popularity. I still want money. I still want all these things, you know. And I remember I was called in by Chico Silotuala, and they had a group called Image. And so they needed a lead singer. to actually do a recording. And they looked for me because they saw me on television, on TV2, Ngomgqibelo. I don't know whether by that time you were there or not.
Probably not. Probably not.
Ngomgqibelo. So I appeared with my family, and we were doing gospel. And so they actually saw me there, and they said, let's look for this guy. We are on the same age. And so, yeah, if we can get him, and he can do leads for us. And they found me, and ultimately, fortunately, they found me via one of the girlfriends of Silo, Chico. And the girlfriend said, no, my sister actually goes to school with him. And so I can talk to my sister. And then they discovered I stay in Maryland, so that he came. And that's how I was introduced into the professional space in music. So I did You've Got to Be My Girl and all that with Image. But at that time, I was already saved. I already had a relationship with God. And I remember my mom said, you must stop this. And then listen to some sabin, you must stop. And I kind of like, but mom, I want to do this. And I was looking even at the monetary side of things and the popular side of things. And then I did it. And we did some tours with them. That is where I discovered that secular is not my thing.
Mm.
Because the lifestyle was so bad.
Contrary.
Very much two worlds apart. And I realize here, if I continue, I am going to die. Now that's my sacrifice.
Mm.
I then made a decision. I'm no more going to do that. I'm no more going to give in to something that doesn't represent me,
yes.
You know. And instead, I'd rather not have those things that I want than have them and then lose my soul. The Bible says, what will it profit you to gain the whole world but lose yourself? And I was going to lose myself. I even began to see it happening, that I'm losing myself. It, by the look of things, I'm giving in to things that are going to destroy me here. And then I made a sacrifice. I'm going gospel. Mm. I remember I spoke to Chico and I said, listen, this is the last thing I'm doing with you. And that was when they did the second recording. And I said, I want to do gospel. And he said, okay, no, that's fine. We will do a single for you on gospel. And that's how I branched out
into
gospel. So look, that was a sacrifice for me, but that was a lifeline for me.
Absolutely. Sure. You know, something, Bishop, I'm just reminded as you're speaking that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me recently, that when we deny ourselves,
yes.
You know, it's not only unto God's glory, and it not only honors him, but it also benefits us in many ways, you know.
Ultimately,
so in your journey, I'm absolutely seeing that as well in your journey. And that actually takes me, Bishop, to my next question, which happens to be the topic of today, the execution of the Great Commission through music ministry. So before Jesus ascended to heaven, Bishop, he gave his disciples a command, right? And we form part of his disciples now.
Right.
He said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So from that time to 2025, a lot has changed. I mean, it's been centuries now.
Mm.
You know, times have changed. People have changed. Church has changed, you know, in the way it does things.
Big way.
You know, even the music industry has changed. But one of my favorite characteristics of God, Bishop, is that in the midst of a changing world, he remains the same.
Yes.
And his word remains the same. That's why he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will remain, you know. So how do we preach an old-time message, Bishop, that has changed in an ever-changing world where trends are changing, everything is changing? How do we keep to the principles of the word and of the gospel and making Christ known in an ever-changing world?
I think over and above the issue of relationship, there has to be fellowship.
Absolutely.
You know, you will never be effective in your relationship outside your fellowship. In other words, long ago, we used to have people calling themselves gospel artists. But they were singing about the God they actually do not have fellowship with. They know about him, or they knew about him, but they didn't have a relationship with him. But now it goes deeper. It's not about a relationship anymore. It is about fellowship. Because it is in the fellowship that you actually are able now to speak as the oracle of God. You are able to speak the mind and the heart of God because you're spending time with God. It's almost like the more I would spend time with you, I will ultimately speak your words and adapt to your thinking. And so in the same way, when you have a relationship with God, you cannot help but walk like him,
Amen.
Speak like him, think like him. And I think when you are a Christian, or let me say, when you are a child of God, I always love to go further than just being a Christian, because there are many people who are Christless Christians, who have less of Christ, but more of other things. And so, and when you are a child of God, and then you represent your father, you look like your father, you sound like your father. Now, coming back to the issue of really talking the word, speaking the word, you will have to spend time in the word of God. You will have to actually spend time with God, because God will point you to his instructions and for you to have the principles of God, the mind of God. And obviously, we look at the Bible as our manual.
Absolutely.
It is the one that guides us. It is the one that make us rooted in God, you know. So my coming through in the word, it was easy for me. Why? Because I needed to know more about the one I sing about.
Amen.
I needed to understand his ways more than his word. And because sometimes you will know God's word, but you don't pursue his way, you know. And there's so many people who know the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, but their ways are not representing the word. So it is important for one to actually be grounded in the word of God. And I remember when my father passed away, I now didn't have any father figure, you know. And then God began to actually reveal to me, and he said to me, I will father you because I'm a father of the fatherless. Then he pointed me to the word. I took my dad's Bible. I would sleep with it, holding it on my bosom. I would sleep with it and cry. I remember, actually, it's messing me up even right now.
Oh, man.
That was the only thing that I had. And I would say to God, please lead me, guide me. I have no idea now as to what should I do. The word of God was the one that led me. And I would read the Bible and I would say, now I have guidance. Now I have counsel. Now I have direction, you know, because of the fact that it was almost like God was saying, when you follow my word, I will keep you within the boundaries of my love.
Amen.
In other words, you will never be exposed to anything that you were not supposed to be exposed to. And the word of God kept on guiding me and leading me. And up until, the only thing that I would think about is not only to speak it, but to align my life with the Bible. And so, and I remember those times, even the songs that I would write, they were from the Bible. I would write songs, you know, like that were scriptural. You know, I remember I wrote one song, I Will Never Be Lost, I Will Never Get Away from Your Presence. If I go to, in other words, in hell, you are there. When I go to heaven, you are there. And wherever I am, you are there. And in fact, that actually deepened my faith in God, in saying, no one has the power to take my life because my life is in God's hands. So the word of God, even in spite of the geographical space, wherever I go, I speak the word. I mean, I've traveled many countries in America, in Europe, UK, wherever, just because I'm grounded in the word. I'm able to stand before people and speak as thus says the Lord.
Amen.
You know, not as Benjamin Dube, but I speak what I believe that it's in the heart of God, you know, and that actually has shaped my life and shaped my ministry.
Wonderful. You know, I think from what you're saying, Bishop, I'm just picking up that being rooted in the Word of God in
right.
spite of the changing times,
right.
you know, because things are just, if you look 20 years back, obviously things are not the same as they were, you know, all across society.
Yeah.
So having the Word of God as your anchor, I believe, you know, looking at your journey is just what helps us in an ever-changing world.
Absolutely.
You know? So beautiful. And Bishop, I think one of the other things that people love the most about your music is not just how you write your songs and how you perform them, but it's also the excellence that goes into what you do, like when you produce your albums, you know, from Glory in His Presence, Victorious in His Presence, Legendary in His Presence. We just watch them and we see that no expense has been spared, you know. You really put that much work into production and into everything, actually. So I just want to know, Bishop, with you doing music ministry and having to preach the word and minister through your songs, how do you ensure that you keep a balance of the two and one doesn't outweigh the other, you know? In other words, you don't put much effort into, you know, the production side of it, but then less effort into the preaching and the ministering side of it. How do you manage to strike that balance where it just matches perfectly? Because that's one of the things that draws us to your music, Bishop.
I am going to actually start by saying, you know, it, previously, when I started, I didn't start that way by virtue of the fact that quite a number of companies would not agree in really spending too much budget. Mm. And they would just say, no, we don't have enough budget for this and that and that. And that. But from the time when God gave me the opportunity to move on to an international space, and that was in the year 2000, when the first recording, which was an international recording, a live recording that I did, which was I Feel Like Going On. From then on, I felt like God was actually now moving me into the next level. And I started actually kind of like demanding and saying, the God that I serve is an excellent God, and he must be represented excellently. You know, at that time, the only people that were doing well, according to my understanding, when coming to excellence, like recordings, it was a joyous celebration. And they would have lighting, they would have whatever, whatever. And even them too were not yet where I believed that we were supposed to be. And when I looked at that and I said, okay, that is a kind of like a reference for me, and then I moved on to In His Presence. From In His Presence, that's when God gave me a breakthrough. And then I was able to command, you know, when coming to productions, and went on to Spirit of Praise productions and all that. And so, but this is the point I want to make, is that we as gospel and worshipers need to understand that the God that we worship, the God that we serve, and the God that we actually are following should be represented in a professional and in an excellent way. And we should not shy away from it. We need to command. We need even to make sure that whoever partners with us know that we believe in excellence. We believe in professionalism. We believe in order. We believe in, I don't know, it has to be such that we don't lower the standard that God has set. The Bible says it very clearly that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting. In other words, he gave the best.
Amen. Yes.
And so even us should be able to give our best. And no, but you know, Bishop, you know, I don't have much money. I don't have this. It should not come out of our mouth. We need to speak excellence. We need to speak professionalism. And I believe God would never give you a vision without a provision. He will support what he has given to you. And I would like to actually say, in the days that we live in, everybody is evolving. Everything is evolving. Nati as worshipers, Nati as ministers, we must evolve with the time and represent God in a proper way in the now. Anointing and grace. And so, and I know sometimes it actually rubs some people the wrong way. But I want to say that if they don't call you in onto their table, make up your table.
Your own.
And make sure that you actually speak what is in the heart of God and command. And one other thing I would say is that when you are positive about it, you speak positively, then positivity will be attracted into. I mean, the last the last project that I did, Legendary,
wonderful,
was beyond my experience, was beyond my expectation, even when coming to the budgets and everything. And surprisingly enough, God threw me into that with no sponsor. But I was able right now, even right now, I'm still trying to finish up in paying some of the
people. Oh, man.
But you know what? It gives me joy.
Amen.
Why? Because I believe that it's reaching more people.
Absolutely.
And more people realize what kind of a God, who God is through that project.
Amen.
Yeah. Ooh,
wow. Bishop, you know, we could sit here and talk all day.
I know.
We are running out of time. So I would just like to thank you, Bishop, again for coming. And just quickly, one last word of encouragement to people who love music and who love the Word of God and are trying to grow in their faith. What would you say to young people who also want to build a legacy like you have? What is just the one piece of advice you would give them, you know, in an ever-changing world where they are passionate about music, passionate about Christ?
Yes.
How do they just keep going to being 60-something years old like you, still loving God, still blessed? Still in the grace of God, still in excellence. What would you just like to say quickly to someone listening?
Well, I would say the first thing that you need to do is to identify your ability. That's number one. And number two, develop that ability. In other words, go to school in learning about the ability that you have. Develop it. In other words, exercise, and so that you may be the best in it. And number three, I would say, acknowledge the Lord your God in all your ways, and He will make your path prosperous. Don't run with the gift and leave the giver of the gift behind. Let Him guide you. Let Him navigate you, because He knows where it will be effective. And maybe the last thing that I would say to them is that longevity doesn't come with attitude. Longevity comes with being grounded. You need to understand that being grounded comes with greatness. When you are big-headed, when you are big, let me put it that way, you will float like a balloon. And then somebody else may come and just pinch and put a pin into it, you deflate. But then when you are grounded, and you are rooted, and you are where people are, there is no way you will lose grounding, and you will never lose greatness, because greatness comes with grounding. And I've discovered that you need to be founded in the Word. I love the scripture that says, Jesus came that I may have and have more abundantly. And that is John chapter 10, verse 10. But a thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. I would say to them, don't hang around people that you see that they have come to take away from you. Hang around people that have come to invest.
To add onto you. Mm.
To invest in you. Mm. And I think that's what Christ came to do. He didn't come to take anything, but he came so that we may have and have it more abundant.
In abundance. Amen. Oh, thank you so much, Bishop. I'm literally picking up so many gems as you are speaking. You know, yeah. More importantly, stay grounded, yes. Stay rooted in the Word. And coincidentally, our podcast is called Deeply Rooted.
Right.
So absolutely amazing, Bishop. Thank you so, so much for your time. And we do believe it's not the last time. We will host you again and for much longer, because I believe that there's so much more wisdom that we can get from you. So thank you so much, Bishop. And we love you. We thank you. We thank God for you. You're a blessing in the kingdom. And we can't wait to see what's more in store from Bishop Benjamin Dube. We believe there's so much more in
thank store. Thank you for having me. It's an honor. And may God continue to bless you and even your viewers. Hold on.
Amen.
We are very close.
Hey, yeah, said Duza Pambi. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bishop Benjamin Dube. Oh, I don't know about you, but I've picked up so many things worth holding on to, and I believe that you have as well. So don't forget to subscribe, don't forget to share, and yeah, we've got more other podcasts under Sowetan Live. We've got the SL Cabinet, we've got Taking Rams by the Horns, so please do check those out as well. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you are precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. God bless.